Former Air Chief SP Tyagi is applying for bail. He has, of course, been sentenced to judicial custody till the end of the month. This is an unprecedented and high-profile arrest in the Augusta Westland chopper scam, which has reopened the public debate here in India. The Congress is, of course, calling this a diversionary tactic by the CBI. But a number of former military officers, including former air chiefs, are rallying behind SP Tyagi. They are saying he is being scapegoated. After all, if there were decisions, he could not have taken them alone. The question now becomes, where does the money trail end? The one man who may have an answer to that question is one of the middlemen that the CBI is saying it is on the heels of. James Christian Michel, he's joining us now from Dubai. He has spoken to us previously about how he's willing to cooperate with the agencies. There is an Interpol notice out for him, but he has so far not come to India. Mr. Michel, let me start by asking you how you see the most recent developments. We've had an ex-air chief taken into custody. We've had former air chief saying he could not have acted alone. Even if he took the decisions to change the specifications, that would have been a collective decision. His lawyers have pointed fingers at the then Prime Minister's office during the Congress-led government. How do you see the arrest of the Air Marshal SP Tyagi?
Well, I think the arrest is very unfortunate. I concur. I was not involved in the deal at the time of the changing of height or altering of the number of engines. I came in after the process, but I had a very careful study of it. And there's certainly no possibility of one man taking such a decision. It's not just one committee decision. It's three, at least three committee decisions to make such a decision.
Well,
and all have to be unanimous.
So you are saying that it would have taken a much larger set of forces than the Air Marshal alone to change the specifications?
No doubt. And the Italian Busto Sizio court concluded that, having investigated and taking statements from many, many people, which is now the only statement standing in Italy.
However, Mr. Michel, the CBI prosecutor, the main investigating agency here in India, has informed the court that their charge is that the former Air Marshal inserted two words in a meeting that was being chaired by the then Defense Secretary in 2005. So they're actually accusing him of acting at least individually at that moment when he basically inserts two words. This is according to the CBI in the note, and therefore they're laying the blame squarely at his door.
Right. Well, I mean, that's something the CBI have access to a great deal of information. But even if he inserted the words, it must have been accepted by all the committees. He can't have inserted them secretly and nobody noticed. There will have been a discussion on those two words, I would imagine.
Well, then that would
from my experience.
Well, then that would take us to the most to the heart of the question, and that is, where does the money trail, in fact, end? And it most people here believe it does not end with SP Tyagi at all. And I want to bring back your attention to a note that has haunted you and your role as a middleman in this scam, a 2008 letter that you have confirmed to me previously that was authentic. You wrote to Peter Hulle, the Indian region head of Augusta Westland,
yes,
in which you call Sonia Gandhi the driving force behind the VIP helicopters. You then list out advisors, men you call advisors, which actually includes the then Prime Minister, and other high-profile names, M.K. Narayanan, Pranab Mukherjee, Oscar Fernandez. Mm-hmm. These are people, Ahmed Patel, whom you list as advisors. And you actually talk about the High Commissioner, the British High Commissioner, targeting these people. You have confirmed the authenticity of this note, and it is this note that the BJP and many people here in India believe points to a political connection to this scam. The Gandhis, of course, have denied this squarely. Mrs. Gandhi has called it a witch hunt. But you have confirmed the authenticity of this letter, and this letter is back to haunt you, Mr. Michel, as the former air chief is taken into custody. Explain this note.
Yeah, no, I think haunting is the wrong word. It was a letter to internally inside Augusta Westland, recommending who would be involved in any sort of decision-making process, no matter how distant that may be, and who they could consider saying to the High Commission they should be marketing to. When a Prime Minister travels to America, He's inundated with formal requests to visit factories to look at products. This is normal marketing. So not only did it not go directly to anyone, it went to the company, it went to the High Commission, and then for them to decide what is politically correct, what is protocolally correct to do. And in fact, I think they probably did nothing with that.
Why would you call Sonia Gandhi the driving force in a chopper deal where she's not actually meant to be even using those choppers?
Oh, no, that's misunderstanding what it says. What it's saying is she has a great deal of influence over the members, and her opinion would be listened to. Her opinion is considered valuable, and I imagine still is today. So it's quite reasonable to get opinion formers on your side.
So you would call this what? Because most people would see your role as a middleman to actually have received bribes to enable this sort of clout or influence and to push a deal where the specifications that changed at the last moment to make Augusta Westland actually eligible for bidding. What do you call targeting a set of high-profile people in government, from Manmohan Singh to M.K. Narayanan to Sonia Gandhi? You are clearly advising the Augusta Westland head to target these people. That's the word you use. What do you call this targeting?
No, I would consider it marketing. It's what all companies are doing. Do you think Boeing are doing anything different? During the very big fighter program, every kind of government intervention was taken for the very large multi-role fighter program. So this is pretty normal.
What do you mean by normal?
I can assure you, all governments marketed.
What do you mean by normal? Are you calling bribes normal? Are you calling taking commissions normal?
Certainly not. No, it's unacceptable and it's not normal. That I'm not calling at all. But marketing, using diplomatic channels to market national products, is quite normal. And I can assure you the French embassy, the American embassy have been marketing heavily, as do the Russian embassies.
The difference, of course, Mr. Michel, and you are familiar...
So all that note is doing is asking for support from the High Commission. Sorry.
All that note is doing? Complete your point. All that note is doing is marketing to the party in power.
Yep.
You're saying that all that note is doing...
is recommending to the High Commission to... Yeah.
In other words, lobbying.
Yes.
Now, you are insisting...
Yes, I think lobbying is a modern word. It's a... Yeah.
Now, you are insisting that no money in fact changed hands, that you're calling marketing and lobbying normal, but not in fact bribe giving and taking. But this note in my hand, which you would be familiar with, I did show it to you the last time I interviewed you as well, Guido Haschke's budget sheet, so to speak. This actually has entries of
yes.
money against different names, right? And you have very, very contentiously something called FAM, which is broadly understood here in India to refer to family. And it has an entry of 15 to 16 million euros mm-hmm. against it, right? You've seen this note. There are other entries. There's an entry short form for Air Force. There's an entry which refers to AP, which here was speculated meant the Congress leader, Ahmed Patel, though he flatly denied that he'd ever met with you or he even knew how to pronounce mm-hmm. the name of Augusta Westland. Please explain this budget sheet and these diary entries.
Right. Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity. Okay, this budget sheet was apparently written by Haschke, and Haschke alleges that it was dictated by me. He said, at the meeting, there were three people. There was Guido Haschke, myself, and my English business associate. Of the three people supposedly present at that meeting, only Guido Haschke has recollection of it. The other Englishman who was supposed to be present has given an affidavit that he was never present, never saw it, and never heard of such a discussion. I had certainly never seen it before I saw it in the Indian press. It was written out with the sole purpose of making a deal with the prosecutor and left in a black bag under Guido Haschke's mother's bed so that it might be found as part of his plea bargain with the Italian prosecutor. This is a very normal practice. You know very well in India, if you're in danger of being raided, you put in your safe a black book where you list all the people you pretend to have paid so that if you get prosecuted, it causes an enormous mess. And that's exactly what Haschke did. It's the oldest trick in the book, and I'm really shocked that an Italian prosecutor, and we're all falling for it. It's clearly not correct. Because what it states is everybody in the power chain had a kickback, which is ridiculous.
You're actually saying that this note was made up by Guido Haschke as insurance for himself, and it's absolutely false?
Absolutely. It's anyone who looks at it could identify it cannot be correct. It's obviously made up. And Haschke even admitted that he didn't understand fully what all the names meant. He just sat down and wrote it out, knowing what trouble it would cause.
But, you know, Mr. Michel, listening to you, you would want us to believe that...
But I can give you more evidence than that.
Okay, what is the evidence? Mm-hmm. What is the evidence?
Right, okay. So Mr. Haschke claimed when he was being cross-examined by the prosecutor, Mr. Fusco, that he had to write out the note because I can't write.
Okay.
Then within the same day, he told the prosecutor that the share split was worked out between he and I wrote the sentences at the bottom in handwriting.
Yes.
So Mr. Haschke has to make up his mind, am I literate or am I not? Because one of those two notes are forgeries, or both of them are.
Okay.
But what he said is absolutely incongruent. Either I wrote them or I didn't write them, or I can write or I can't write. He doesn't seem to know.
But there is a suggestion that Mr. Haschke might turn, you know, we don't have this confirmed yet, but there is a belief that Mr. Haschke may even turn approver for the CBI, that he may in fact help the prosecution become a witness for them. His name is no longer publicly listed on the Interpol list, and you would have seen that as well. I would ask you the same question. When we met, I think sometime last year, you said you were willing to cooperate with the Indian authorities. A long time has passed. Time is running out for you. Your name is coming up repeatedly in the court. Why are you not coming to India and presenting your version of what you claim to be the truth in court? That would be the legal way to do it, not to be an absconder from the law as you are being.
Oh no, I agree. I would very much like to take that option. The problem I have, the judicial process in India is quite lengthy. I mean, we've seen in Italy they've been 4 years in discussion on this, and we still haven't got a conclusion, which I'd like to come on to Italy in a minute. But I can't afford to spend 4 years in India or 4 years in jail whilst my family is unsupported, my children are at school, I have to make a living, I will not be put up as a guest of the British High Commission, I will be on my own trying to make a living in India for as long as the trial takes, and it could take years. I haven't got that sort of money, my family need me, and I can't afford that kind of time.
So what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do?
Which is why I've made the offer to come to Dubai and interview me.
So you are saying the Indian authorities are welcome to meet you in Dubai?
Well, and my lawyers have written to them repeatedly to that effect without an answer. I'm even willing under condition to come to India, but the condition list is growing. Before I said I don't want to be arrested, I need to be free to travel. I will come to give to be interrogated and interviewed. But also, we need Mr. Haschke to be there. And if you'd like to come onto that subject, I'll explain to you why.
But let me first come back to something you said. You said that this note on the screen that we're seeing right now is something that Mr. Haschke fabricated as insurance for himself, and kickbacks were not given up and down the chain. But the fact is, Mr. Michel, kickbacks were received by somebody. There is more than 300 crores that was paid in kickbacks. Separately, you received 44 million euros for being a middleman, and the court, the Milan High Court, did rule that this was completely disproportionate to any work you did for Augusta Westland. And I'm only quoting from the court judgment. The court judgment then went on to say that Christian Michel...
Wait.
There were probably prohibited transactions, and this money was a cover for those.
May I point out, this court you're referring to was quashed on Friday. It was handled in a most bizarre manner, and has now been returned to the Court of Succession for retrial.
Yes, but that retrial has been ordered on procedural
this
grounds.
This judgment is...
Yes, I'm aware of the retrial, but the retrial has been ordered on procedural grounds that some data did not match, that the original complaint and the complaint that was brought before the court, there was data that did not match, there were dates that didn't match. I'm aware of that. But at the moment, that could still be called procedural, and it doesn't answer the core of my question.
No, there's more than procedural.
What were your 44 million euros for, Mr. Michel? The 44 million euros that you received, what were those for?
Well, first of all, I did not receive 44 million. I was forensically audited, and there was no 44 million. If I'd received 44 million, I would think I'd be having a much more aggressive legal team than I have at the moment. Those figures are incorrect. They're proven to be incorrect. The first court, after the forensic audit, quoted the audit as saying those figures are incorrect, and that's what we went forward with. The succession, the Court of Appeal, took no witnesses, took no statements, relied purely on paper evidence, like Mr. Guido Haschke's budget sheet. These are incorrect documents, incorrectly filed. They've not been accredited. They've not been investigated. They've been taken on face value. And the first court also said that Mr. Haschke is an unreliable witness.
How much money did you receive if it was not 44 million euros, and what did you receive it for?
This is why we're going back.
How much money did you receive?
Right. I received, under contract for the VVIP, I received about 6 million over 3 years, for implementation work, which the government of India have copies of all my contracts, and they were pronounced legal.
There are other reports that now suggest that there is correspondence from you that speaks about how the Cabinet Committee of Security actually had a point person or a spokesperson to deal with you. There is another correspondence of yours that relates to your talking about disqualifying the competition. How can a Cabinet Committee on Security have a point person just to deal with the middleman? Please explain that those letters that you have written.
No. First of all, there was no individual appointed to deal with me. That document is 8 years old. I imagine what it's referring to is the negotiating committee will have appointed someone to refer back questions on points that were unclear. That's what that's referring to.
So who was that person? Who was this point person appointed by the CCS?
And I imagine they did the same with all the contenders.
Who was the person?
You know, I have no idea. I think the committee was simply told a person would be appointed to ask further questions,
so
clarification.
So who did that person end up being who was clarifying the questions that Finn Mechanica or Augusta Westland had? Who was that person appointed?
No, but this was all part of the negotiation. Many people came forward as empowered in the committee to ask questions. There was a great deal of questioning going on during the negotiation, well, during the tender process. I have absolutely no idea which person was put forward at that time to...
You have no idea or you have no recollection?
But it, quite often there were teams, special teams put to one side to... No, I have no recollection at all. In fact, I don't remember that fax. But if it's in there, I'll take your word for it.
And you're talking about disqualifying the competition? You're actually on record talking about, as I said, a point person. And then you're talking about disqualifying the competition.
Yeah, but that's the job of each competitor to try and disqualify each other. That's called a competition. That's absolutely normal. Do you expect us to help our competition? Surely not.
Let me ask you who of significance you met as you were trying to lobby for this deal to go through. Did you meet with Air Marshal S.P. Tyagi? Have you ever met him?
No.
Did you meet with his cousins?
No. Oh, yes, I beg your pardon. Yes, I have met with Julie. We met at a party, quite an affable person.
And people would assume he would be the route to influence the deal.
Well, you see, this is what Mr. Haschke was claiming at the time. But then he gave an interview after the judgment and after he'd done his plea bargain saying that he knew there was no corruption. So I honestly don't know which statement of Mr. Haschke we're supposed to believe. The plea bargain, his statements during his questioning in court, or his statement to Reuters in November after the hearing, November 2015. I am confused with Mr. Haschke's statements.
And have you ever met with anybody in the Congress party?
I can write, I can't write.
Have you ever met with anyone in the Congress party?
No.
Nobody?
No, I avoid.
Not a single Congress leader?
No, I avoid all these people.
So does this...
It would have been madness.
So does this trail go beyond and higher than SP Tyagi? Because my last question to you is, there are former retired military chiefs who say that Air Marshal Tyagi is being made a scapegoat, and that there are people higher and beyond him, politicians and bureaucrats, who, if he's wrong, then so are they. Your last comment on that.
Okay, my last comment. Yeah, there is something going on. A great deal of money was sent to Tunisia. And from Tunisia, it went to Mauritius. The only reason you make such a trail is to hide your activities. It's clearly illegal. The person who was responsible for that is no longer wanted. His whereabouts is not known. Interpol have, off the record, told me that the Indian government requested him to be taken off. I do not know why. But we've lost access to the man who could have told us what was going on. And okay. Also, I'm suing him in Switzerland, and I'm suing him in Italy, and I can't find him. So,
all right, we'll have to leave it there. Many, many questions. Christian Michel, a man wanted. The CBI, of course, charges you with having been a middleman who also received a kickback. That's something you're denying. You're saying you're willing to be questioned by the authorities in Dubai, but you will come to India only on certain conditions. I think the next step will, of course, be taken by the CBI. We'll leave it there. Christian Michel, Augusta Middleman, on the program tonight.